I'm Madeline Walter.
And I'm Ben Axelrad, and we're both hypochondriacs.
I think I'm sick when I'm not.
And anytime I'm sick, I think I'm a goner for sure.
Welcome to Definitely Dying, the podcast about health concerns, both real and imagined.
Because it's better to laugh about it together than cry about it alone.
I have a runny nose and an ingrown hair, and
my knee hurts.
My armpit kind of hurts. Is that a rash? And I had Asian food, and that makes me feel kind of sick. I might be lactose intolerant.
Welcome to Definitely Dying, folks. Thanks so much for joining us once again. If you've been listening to the podcast over the last couple of months, you may have heard us start each interview with the same question we ask of our guests on a scale of 1 to 10. How much do you fear death? But Madeline and I have never taken the opportunity to discuss this amongst ourselves.
Yeah.
So we thought, hey, what better way to intro than to let you know just how scared to death we truly are. So Madeline, on a scale of 1 to 10, how much do you fear death?
It's funny because we ask this question a lot, but I actually haven't given it, like, the most thought.
Yeah.
My gut says I'm, like, a 5.
Yeah?
Yeah, like, because I'm actually not terrified. I'm not afraid of being dead.
Well,
like,
yeah, yeah.
I that does not scare me. Well, the things that I'm afraid of are dying due to my own carelessness.
Oh yeah, like the time you bleached yourself.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like the time I bleached myself in the shower.
Yeah.
By cleaning my shower. Or like that's the root of my food poisoning fears. Mm-hmm. Is like just to be like, oh, all these people are gonna have to deal with like so much shit.
Yeah.
You know, they're gonna have to cremate me and be sad.
Oh,
and like get used to a life without me, like just because I like didn't look at the expiration date on
right.
like a bunch of tofu or something. Like
yeah.
That's what I'm scared of.
Can we back up just a second? So are
yeah.
you definitely getting cremated?
That's what I would like.
Okay.
I don't know why. I just it sounds like the nicest.
Where do you want your ashes to be?
That's a great question. I definitely want them to be thrown somewhere.
Oh, okay.
I do not want anybody to keep a jar of my ashes. I think that's macabre.
A jar. Not even an urn, just like next to the peanut butter is Madeline's
yeah,
ashes.
Like nobody needs my burned up body in their house. Absolutely not.
Dibs on Madeline's burned up body in my apartment. I don't even care about the cremation part. Just burn this chick. Let me keep her.
If anything ever happens to me, somebody's going to take that like that one section of tape and you are going to have months and months of trials to go to.
Trials like they're not mine.
Yeah. Like, they'll be like, well, that man sounds like he wants to attend several trials.
Truth is, I would. I would enjoy attending several trials. Not one for me having killed you, but other ones. Really, none of them involving your death. But
thank you. That's so nice. Thank you.
Oh, no,
thank
of course.
You so much.
Of course. So
but
scale
I think
five.
I would want my ashes scattered over like some ocean or something, but I would have to. I hope an ocean becomes meaningful enough to me in the span of time between now and my death that I can happily justify throwing my ashes in some ocean, because that feels like the nicest place for like my burned up body to fly away to.
Right, right, yeah.
That's the name of my memoir. A nice place for my burned up body to fly away to.
The Madeline Walter story?
Yeah.
With a question mark,
yeah, without a doubt. What about you? On a scale of 1 to 10, how much do you fear death?
So I would like to say that I was a 5 also, because
yeah.
I think that's a pretty healthy number.
Yes.
Like I always think that 10 and 0 are basically the same.
Yes.
Like you're either terrified of death or you're so terrified of death that you've blocked it out of your mind.
Agreed.
So I want to say I'm a 5, but I'm probably closer to it. I'm going to say I'm an 8.
Mm.
And similar, sort of similar to what you were saying, I would say I have an intense fear of dying doing something stupid,
yeah.
but not necessarily like the bleaching thing,
mm-hmm.
more like people are like, come on, skydiving sounds fun.
Yes.
And then I just drop. My parachute doesn't open. I would just be screaming at, like, I would be so angry as I was going down. There are so many things in life where I just feel like the stupid thing would not be dying from it, but just doing it in the first place and then dying from it.
So, recreational deaths seem so stupid to me.
Yeah. Like the time we went to our good friend Dana's birthday party and I severely pulled my groin playing kickball. I was so angry at kickball that day. Yes. And that was that was bad. It was a 4 to 6 week injury, but it wasn't like perilous.
Yeah.
It just sucked. So if I was going to actually die doing it, I would just be furious. But in terms of like on a day-to-day basis, I think what makes me most afraid is how similar to you, how careless I am, like how I'm on a like moment to moment. I'm not truly afraid. And I probably should be more because I'm reckless and stupid.
Yes.
At least as pertains to ways in which a person could accidentally kill themselves.
In what ways? Can you give me an example?
Oh, just like I could easily stumble into traffic just about any day, just walking across the street, not paying any attention. In fact, I think I did at least twice yesterday, almost walk into traffic and die with your husband, Ben Green. Great man. Pulled me back, saved my life.
He's done that to me several times, too.
Yeah, he has to.
He will often shoot out a hand in front of my chest, and it'll be the thing that stops me from just idly walking into a little bit of traffic.
Literally, that's exactly what happened yesterday.
Yeah.
He put up a safety bar, and I stayed on the sidewalk.
Yeah, and I'm always like a little annoyed, and then a split second later, I'm like, oh, no, you're right. That was correct. Yeah.
Keep your hands off me, you sweet, sweet man.
Part of me, when it comes to like death by an accident or something, I'm not afraid of that. And it's not because I think it won't happen. It's just because there's nothing I can do about it. And
right.
I sort of I feel that like there will be a time when that happens and I don't think I meant to think about it. And if it happens, it happens, which sounds morbid, but I think it's like the only way to live without being kind of in constant fear of things that are out of your control.
No, I mean, it's going to happen at some point.
Yeah.
It could be like the composite of a variety of little accidents that lead that then somebody could put a name on where they're like, you know, you've done like when I was a smoker, you know, it's like it wasn't one cigarette that potentially could have led to lung cancer, but all those cigarettes over time.
Yeah, all those times you accidentally smoked a cigarette.
Yeah. I was like, what is going on? This feels so good. They should put a name on it. They should attach a habit to this. Either the composite of a lifetime of things will lead to your death, or just like one thing that you're not thinking about will all of a sudden take you.
Yeah.
And that doesn't sound the worst to me, unless it was my conscious decision to do something that I knew was a stupid idea.
Yeah.
Like skydiving or bungee jumping.
I don't want to ever skydive or bungee jump. I would just be like too mad if that's the thing that took me, because I don't think either of them, I think like probably neither of them would be fun enough to justify that. And that's kind of how I feel about like excessive substance abuse.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like the reason, and I'm fully aware that I'm a big nerd and I'm like outing myself as a nerd, but like I've always felt like, I don't know that I want to ever like take anything or like drink so much that that is the way that I will like injure myself or hurt somebody else, because like that truly would feel like the most stupid and frivolous way to like ruin a life.
Yeah. No, no question. I mean, I think it's it can even be less extreme than that. Like speaking directly to you, I don't think you like chicken enough to risk dying from cooking chicken.
No,
you know?
I don't really like chicken very much at all.
No.
So it's not worth it to me.
There are a lot of things that just aren't worth it.
Yeah.
On the off chance, they're just not worth it.
Yeah.
And then maybe that's what life is you decide the things that are worth dying for, and those are your life.
Agreed.
You know?
Yeah. Agreed. Yeah. Well,
that feels good.
Satisfying, and we came to an interesting conclusion.
Yeah,
your life should be full of things that you wouldn't mind if that's what killed you.
Yeah, if like, this is how you go out.
I wouldn't be sad if I died. I'd be a little embarrassed, but like if I like fell down in an improv show and broke my neck.
Right.
And
yeah,
that's
yeah.
how I died. And like my ghost like floated up above my body like in a cartoon. I don't think I would be like, why did you do that improv show? I would be like, well, this like... Yeah, fine. Yeah,
this is the life
fine.
I chose.
This is
yeah.
the life I chose. Yeah, I wouldn't mind. But if, yeah. but if I died bungee jumping, my mm-hmm. ghost would float up and be like, you fucking idiot. Yeah. You don't even like heights. You just did this to prove something to yourself. Like, this was not your poison to choose.
No, no, definitely. Yeah. Well, let's open that up to the listeners out there.
Yeah.
Like, maybe hashtag the life I choose.
Yeah.
And the thing that you would be, the thing in your life that if you died doing it, you'd feel most satisfied,
yeah.
I guess. Is,
yeah.
that, is that a thing?
Yeah, simultaneously morbid and uplifting.
Yeah, morbid and uplifting.
And on that note, let's get started.
Let's do it. All right, we've got a great guest with us here today in the studio. He's a hilarious comedian, improviser, writer, actor. He's a do-it-all guy. In fact, he himself has a couple of podcasts. Batman the Animated Podcast and Before You Were Funny. He's also one part of the team that's responsible for the animated classics Monster Island and Friendship All Stars of Friendship. And he's a member of the UCB House Friday night team, Winslow, performing at Franklin, 9:30s Friday night. Justin Michael, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you for having
Justin.
Me. Hello.
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 I'm glad that you referred to the shorts that I made as animated classics.
They are. They're
yeah. They're instant classics of 2013 to 2016.
That's right. Instant classics. And you're a living legend.
Yeah. I came in here on a god cloud. That's a thing.
That's a thing.
Yeah. Yeah, all cloud.
That's
every
right.
cloud's a god cloud.
Yeah,
hey,
yeah.
it depends on what you believe, Madeline. just throwing that out there.
It's true.
Yeah, I guess you think all clouds are science clouds?
Yes, science clouds, please. Cumulus, Nimbus, the other one. And there's probably more.
The god
Jesus,
one. I believe the third
Joseph.
One is the god.
Fuck.
And Goliath. Those are the three types of clouds I believe
yeah.
in.
Goliath, Jesus' yeah. tallest disciple.
What's crazy is Justin's microphone was just struck by lightning.
Oh, no, not again.
But what's even crazier is he went directly to heaven.
Well, you know, don't have to be a believer. Just got to be a great animated
right.
classic maker.
That's right. Living legend, Justin Michael has died.
On the podcast, definitely dying.
Can you imagine?
It came true.
Oh, my
God. God, I don't want to.
I don't no. want to. I hope no. nobody ever dies mm-mm. while on this podcast.
Oh, my God. It, most likely to be me, I think.
Like, just, I don't disagree.
No, no. No.
Would you be happy if you did? Like, if you could look back and be like, you know, you got to see your own death. You're like, yeah, that's like a fun
we
way.
We literally
just talked about
just
this.
Just
yeah.
talking about that before you mm-hmm. came in here.
Wow. Yeah, like the
we were about, that like our like little like little peek behind the scenes for the listeners. We record the intro by ourselves,
yes.
and then we welcome the guests.
Yeah,
in.
Yeah. Other podcasters, maybe give that a shot.
Yeah.
We all know when your guest is sitting in the room for 20 minutes and you're not
silent,
talking to them.
Yeah.
We all know it.
But our intro that we were just doing was about the idea of like if you died and could like float above your body and watch and like what would your ghost or whatever think about what you were just doing while
yeah
you
like
died.
While you died
yeah.
yeah and I think and so like my takeaway was that if I did something like skydiving and my parachute didn't open and I just plummeted to my death, I would be yelling at God the entire way down because that's just not it's so out of character for me to do something like that. So then to do it and to die from it, I would be furious. But this isn't out of character. So like if I yeah, just like all of a sudden I was like, I wonder what it would taste like to lick this microphone and then I got like electrocuted. Yeah. I mean, one, it's on game with my stupidity. And two, it's just like a place I like being, you know,
you do
with
love
people.
Licking microphones.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
the
yeah.
one thing I know about.
Yeah.
You.
Yeah. I'll lick any mic, the, like a man's name,
yeah.
This one.
You're a real Mike Licker.
Mike
real
Licker.
Mike Licker. Yeah.
Mike Licker, Ben Axelrod.
Yeah.
What would, is there
dead.
Anything like that you, that, what would you most feel okay dying during?
Oh my God. Like the what, how would I like to die?
Or, yeah. Or sure. like, I feel like that's like a tricky wording because it means like, like, I'm not trying to say you would like to die, but if you were like to, you know,
you
other
die.
Than like dying, like, you know, in your sleep at 103, surrounded by your like friends and family.
Yeah. Great,
like,
that was my answer. some iteration of that, like, oh, peacefully with people I love.
Yes.
Nobody else is dead.
Yes.
They all have to deal with it afterwards.
Yeah, right, yeah, right. Yeah, yeah. But like, because like, what would you, what activity would you feel the most at peace dying during prematurely? Oh.
You know, this is just, this is my gut. The first thing that came to my head was like petting my cat.
Oh, yeah.
Like
yeah.
just having a good time with like, you know, an animal you
right.
love. And the people you love, sure.
Right.
But you already, you cut off the
I
people
cut off
I
the
love
people.
From this
They're
scenario.
They're unavailable
yeah.
to you.
Yeah. So you would like to die at 103 surrounded by cats.
yeah. I want to be a crazy cat man. I want my cat Fozzie, who surely, sadly, will be dead by 103 oh. when Aww. I'm 103.
Oh.
But I want him to live forever.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a beautiful sentiment.
Yeah,
you
yeah.
want everyone to live, and then for it to not be such a burden on them when you pass away peacefully.
Oh, that's nice.
But yeah, like so like with the cat, like you're petting your cat and then you just die. Not like your cat kills you.
No,
yeah,
no,
that would
no,
be like the
cat.
Worst.
Well, there's also all I feel like anti-cat people because cats
yes.
get a bad rap.
They really do.
Are,
they're beautiful animals.
They're beautiful. They're
I love yeah.
I love their aesthetic.
Yeah. I love the way they look. I've only ever seen one. I've never interacted with one.
Madeline,
I
know
I
you have a cat.
Gorgeous.
I've met your cat.
I've only ever looked at her.
Wow.
I won't touch her.
Okay.
I won't look her in the eyes.
That seems
you won't look
weird.
Your cat in the eyes.
Honestly, I look into her eyes all the time and I always think, we are basically talking right now.
Yeah.
And it's true.
No, I believe that.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a form of communication.
Yeah, it is. We don't need words.
No.
What were you saying?
I truly don't remember. I was like looking
Fozzie.
And I was like, yeah, cool.
Yeah.
Fozzie the cat. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Cat haters think that cats are going to eat your body when you die. Like, they're like, cats are just fucking animals. Like, dogs,
Whoa.
They'll cry for you and they'll, like, try to get help. But cats, they're going to ravage your body because you're just meat to them.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's true, but I hate the idea.
Yeah, I hate the idea.
I don't think that's true because, honestly, I think the reason a dog would cry is because a dog can't get food by itself.
Mm-hmm.
So it would be crying because it would be like, I'm sad that the only way I know how to get food is gone. But a cat can find food anywhere. Cats are basically not even fully domesticated animals because like a cat could go outside and like catch a bunch of birds and shit and they don't rely on you. They choose to live with you because they like you.
Right, but locked in a room, waiting.
I mean, it would probably eat your body
yeah,
eventually.
Okay.
But
yeah.
But that's but like but, good on them. They should.
Right. No, I think
you
would
want
it.
I want them to eat my body.
I don't want
yeah.
a cat to like just
yeah.
to starve to death
no.
instead of eat my body.
Also, then you then. Your soul's inside your cat. That's great.
Oh, so he's eating the soul. You can, souls are edible?
Yeah, I think so.
Wow.
Wow.
We kind of, like, I feel like we sort of danced around your answer to this question, but uh-huh. But on a scale of 1 to 10, how much do you fear death?
I was thinking about this because I've listened to the podcast.
Thank you.
I don't know. I truly don't know. I'd say like it's in the middle, like a mm-hmm. 5 or a 6
yes.
is my active, like normal fear of death. I don't think about it very often.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that makes me more afraid of it because I'm like just pushing it away.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't have an active fear of death.
Yeah, yeah.
When I honestly, like very recently, I was like, let me rewatch the Frank Darabont remake of The Mist, really stoned.
Yeah.
And
what is that? What
so
is
it's
The Mist?
It's a horror movie based off of like a Stephen King novel.
Oh.
And basically it's like some sort of mist rolls into town after this storm. And like it's about a group of survivors that, you know, have to like kind of band together inside of like a 7-Eleven style, like, you know, like Quickie Mart
mm-hmm.
kind of place or a market,
yes.
you know. And so they all like, you know, and monsters are coming and like, like they're like, we got to go out there, get a car. You know, like it's
oh,
like
yeah,
kind of
yeah,
like
yeah.
post-apocalyptic or like we don't know what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe this is just in our town. But people are dying like crazy. And I was like, for some reason, that was the thing that like reminded me like, oh, God, I'm going to die. I was watching it. I was like, this is a thing that will happen. And I, like, just lay in bed. Like, I was like, why did I watch that movie? Like, it didn't scare me when I, right. like, I first watched it. I think it came out when I was, like, maybe in college.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, I feel like when you're younger, you can watch that kind of shit and not mm-hmm. think about it. But as your body starts to deteriorate, you're like, okay, this is happening.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, eventually, definitely. This is happening as you watch like family start to die. And
yes. Yeah.
Now, have you had what's your experience level with death, like of people close to you?
I had one very, very close, actually a few people, a very close relative, my great grandma, who was like very much like your traditional grandma, mm-hmm. like in terms of like she felt like that was the right age. And she died when I was in high school. Oh. And I saw her like right before she died. Mm. So I saw her like in the throes of like pain from cancer, and it was horrible.
Yeah, yeah.
So like, you know, those unearthly noises that you hear from, I don't know if you've ever heard, but it's horrible. You know, yeah. It's like, and she wasn't ready. Like she was just, it was horrible.
Yeah. No, it doesn't seem like people are ever ready. Like I remember when my grandma died that she left very explicit instructions that she wanted to be given every chance to survive, and she wasn't in good shape. So like this wasn't a freak situation. Like she was gradually but drastically deteriorating, still wanted to fight it out. No matter what situation we seem to be in, we want to go for one more round.
Yeah, seriously.
Yeah.
It's crazy. I was reading about Eartha Kitt. Uh-huh. Sure. One of the Catwomen from 1960s Batman show, as well as cool lounge singer, badass. She's awesome, by the way. Just look her up. She's the coolest.
She's Ursula too, right? No.
Oh, she was in The Emperor's New Groove. She's the villain in that.
Ah.
What's her name?
That's
Yzma, says Alexis.
But she was. Was she not Ursula? Also,
I don't think she was Ursula.
Who was Ursula?
I know it was written for Divine.
Oh, really?
Uh huh. But then Divine died.
Oh.
Was it Angela Lansbury?
Yeah. Hey, let's get the Murder, She Wrote lady to be this horrible, 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 horrible octopus woman.
Anyway, that was not a helpful digression at all.
Eartha Kitt. Just basically, I was reading. I just got lost in Eartha Kitt's Wikipedia page one night after listening to like a scratchy Eartha Kitt record. I don't know what this tells you about me.
A rabbit hole we've all been down, my man.
Yep, everybody knows it. But it ended in talking about her death, and her daughter was like, she went out screaming. She went out fighting and screaming just like she was in life. You know, like she was always, she was like this like very powerful, cool woman who like fought for shit and like spoke, you know, she was like very much like a feminist and like, you know, stood up for, she was a black woman, so she like stood up against a lot of like different authorities.
Yeah.
And so like it was very cool to frame it like that, but it was also very horrifying to imagine just going out screaming and fighting.
Yeah.
Like the idea of like fighting the end.
Yeah.
No, definitely.
It's like that poem you have to read in high school. Like do not go gentle into that good night.
Yes.
Like rage against the dying of the light.
Yeah.
Which like feels like, I don't know why we read it in high school, because I feel like I was like, well, that's a snooze. Yeah. Like, ugh, it's a short poem, not very descriptive. I don't connect to this at all. And then I feel like not that we're old, but as time passes and, you know, as we get older, I feel like that maybe the more you like were able to witness and experience death or like have friends who've experienced it, like that makes more sense, or it's like somehow like more poignant, or like just something to connect to and think about more.
Yeah. I mean, definitely. It just becomes more readily in your, like, it's more immediate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, you had me at rage.
Hell yeah. He loves raging, licking mics, and raging.
Rage.
Ben, the raging Cajun, who ain't Cajun.
Well, that's become my new nickname for the podcast.
I hope you embrace
that. I'm embracing it. Death is obviously something that's going to terrify all of us in some abstract form. But yeah, I mean, I think the closer that you get to it no longer being abstract, the more that rage probably comes out. That's just like, wow, after a certain amount of time on Earth, you're like, I kind of have a decent sense of what's going to get me based on my life choice. Like we talked about earlier that if I hadn't quit smoking would have eventually killed me.
Yeah.
It would have been the thing, you know?
Yes.
Yeah.
And now I'm clueless as to what's going to get me, and I live in fear every moment of every day. Somebody get Alexis, give me a cigarette.
She threw it in his eye.
Oh, now I know. It's Alexis. It's going to kill me.
Yep. She's got a whole set of knives.
Yeah, she's told us these knives are for podcasting, but I don't get it.
No, they help with the levels.
Yeah, me being dead.
That was my Alexis impression.
I'm Alexis.
Helps me with the levels. I'm doing all the work here.
I am very afraid of getting, I think I'm more afraid of getting older, my body deteriorating. Mm. Like, that seems less fun. Like, the idea of not being able to just walk around easily.
Totally.
Yeah.
Like, I'm more inclined now, I'm like, okay, you gotta start getting in, like, shape. Like, mm-hmm. I just need to, like, exercise. I don't exercise at all. And I, like, make a plan to, and then I don't. But it's like, no, you gotta do that, because then you can at least extend your ability and mobility.
Yes.
Like, travel while
it's
you
huge.
Can walk.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yeah.
I was watching Family Feud yesterday, and, this lady was, like, 60 years old or whatever, and they had to, like, walk her up to the podium, and then Steve was talking to her, my good friend Steve Harvey, was
first
talking
name
to
basis.
Her. Yeah, on a first name basis. Steve. He asked her what she would do if she won the money, and she said that she was going to buy a new hip. And it was just so terrifying to me that, like, one, eventually you have to buy yourself a new hip. But if you have to buy yourself a new hip, you're probably not mobile enough to, like, keep working a lot. So it's just this poor woman on the Family Feud trying to win enough money to buy a new hip. And you want to know how much money she won? $0.
No!
She won nothing. She was terrible at the game. So I have less sympathy for her, but still some, like, a modicum.
Oh, that gives me more
that
sympathy for her.
That gives me much more sympathy
I'm like,
for
somebody
her.
Get her a hip.
I know.
Oh, yeah, no, somebody should get this woman a
I
hip.
I hope someone saw that Family Feud and bought that lady a hip. You should mail her a check.
Really?
Find her. No, you shouldn't.
Ben, buy her a hip, Ben.
Just buy her a hip.
I'm going to give this lady a hip.
Yeah. If we have any listeners out there who are very wealthy.
Yeah,
and
you got hip money?
You got hip money. Find that family. I'm sure it was a rerun from many years ago.
Yeah.
But find that lady. Send her a check.
Yeah.
Get her a hip.
You got that fuck you hip money? Throw it at this bitch.
I've got that fuck you hip money. I've been waiting for a reason. It's me, Alexis. I'm helping with the podcast, but I'm ludicrously rich and wealthy outside of this.
Have you seen any examples of your body deteriorating lately?
Yes. I just know that I have bad posture.
Mm.
Oh,
and
yeah.
So, like, it started to, like, I'm like, oh, I'm fucking slumping. And I'm trying
your
to think.
Right here.
I'll get it thrown out, thrown off for, like, a week for just, you know, doing something stupid. Mm-hmm. I guess, like, drinking.
Mm.
Like, any things that you could do to your body when you were, like, a lot younger, college things.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm like, wow, I guess it really does happen.
Oh, yeah. I get a hangover if I just stay up late. Like, I don't drink alcohol, but I still get hangovers because I used to drink it, and I know what they feel like.
I get a hangover from eating too much salt.
Yeah.
That's
oh, definitely.
Thing.
Yeah.
Any dehydrating thing, massive, massive hangover-style headache the next morning.
Yes.
Yeah, I hydrate way more. in an aware way.
Yeah.
I'm like, all right, if I'm going to get fucked up, I better drink a lot of water.
It's true. You're really right.
Make sure I drink a lot of water. Everybody get water.
Yeah.
Okay, Mom.
Have you had a lot of health problems? Like, do you get sick a lot?
You know, there was a period in time I've gotten sick less, but I used to be, at least good friends were like, you get sick more often than other people. And I think it was just poor life choices. Like, I wasn't eating well. I was a very picky eater for a while.
Uh-huh.
Like, I grew up eating, like, grilled cheese and sodas and pizza and, you know, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And then after college, I started, like, expanding the things I ate. And now I, you know, like almost anything. And I like, you know, vegetables and shit like that.
You don't eat meat, though, right?
I do.
Oh, you do? Okay.
I do. I've actually... I think probably I should eat less meat or, like, red meat.
Yeah.
But who knows? Everything's demonized every other month.
Yeah, I know.
But I feel like consistently that's probably not a great thing.
Yeah, not probably in mass quantity.
Right. So I guess I don't get sick as much now. I think that I've treated myself a little better.
Yeah. What have been the changes that you've, like, can you point to any specific changes that have made you stop getting sick as much?
Truly, and I don't know if there's any direct correlation, I don't really eat fast food. I'll eat the equivalent of fast food, but, like, you know, like the whatever, like the nicely made version of it, yes. like burger and fries.
Yes. Right.
I need it nicely made. Yeah. But like I don't go to like McDonald's or I mean, I'm not like snooty about it.
Right.
I'll if I'm on a road trip and people are going, you know, through a drive through, I might get something. Yeah. I think like In-N-Out is like the only place that I still will pop by.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the hip fast food.
Right.
Mm-hmm. In-N-Out's the fast food that people can feel cool about.
Yeah. Yeah. Biblical. Yeah. God clouds aplenty.
Yeah.
They're all on God class there because they got decent paychecks, right? People get paid well at In-N-Out.
That's what they say, And then they benefits and stuff, They're treated well.
That's great.
Hey, good on you, In-N-Out Burger.
Yeah. But you did have, you've had a couple, so you had cellulitis recently, right?
Yes, so last year, so almost like a year ago, I went to this Austin Comedy Festival.
Out of Bounds, right?
Yes, Out of Bounds. Actually, I think we went, the first year I went, we went together and stayed in like a spooky loft.
Like basically a haunted loft.
Yes.
In my memory, it was like, so it was also incredibly hot that weekend. It was like in the hundreds. I just remember I was constantly like enveloped in a hot wind.
Yeah.
And we arrived and we were staying with probably like 8 other people-ish.
It was a smattering of improvisers and sketch people who like aren't all best friends.
No.
Like all good people. Yes. Nobody was shitty, but it was like, we don't all hang out together.
Yeah. It was like a mix of people from like a lot of different sort of groups of friends.
Yeah.
And we walk into this Airbnb that we'd gotten, which was essentially like a large, dark, unair-conditioned loft full of old paintings and mannequin bodies.
Yes.
In my mind.
There was definitely at least one mannequin body. There was one big painting that we kept doing a bit about, and I don't remember.
I think we put it around a lot of people while they were sleeping.
Yes.
I think we woke Jacob up.
There's a lot of waking Jacob up on trips. That is like a thing that happens consistently.
It's honestly one of my fondest memories was waking Jacob up and making him pose. Oh, it was, I remember what it was. It was a painting of only a woman's torso.
Yes.
And her jeans were unbuttoned and she was slowly reaching her hand into the top of her unbuttoned jeans. And it was the skill of whoever painted it was only okay.
Yeah.
Like you would have thought based on this skill that this person would have made like an 8x10 painting rather than probably like an 8x10 painting. It was enormous.
It was enormous and like it looked like, was it like an oil paint? It was like something crazy for what the subject was. Like the medium was too intense.
Yes.
Yeah, and I guess people post. I think you have pictures of that.
I think Susie does.
Susie Barrett.
Susie Barrett.
Friend of your show.
Yeah, friend of the show, Susie Barrett, was with us in Austin. And we took those pictures together. Yeah,
it was a loft that looked like it was, I guess, art directed by like Guillermo del Toro's horny little nephew.
Yeah, truly.
It's like not really spooky. It was just spooky that it was like, you know, weird like states of undress.
Yes, like this family. And I remember it was so hot. I paid $50 to leave 6 hours earlier. It was like, that's how hot it was.
It's absolutely, it's sweltering there at that time of year. So, I was there last year again for the same festival.
Yes.
And so I was there, it was like the folks of Big Grande, a great sketch group. And me and my buddy Jace, we do sketch together. And Marissa, we were my girlfriend. We were all there together having a great time. we went floating down a river, which was great. We were like, let's drink and float down a river. This will be awesome.
That's awesome.
And you just like, you know, every now and then you could like swing on like a rope and like jump in the water. And it was like, it was really hot. So it was like really refreshing just to like spend like a few hours. So you get bussed out from Austin proper to like, you know, wherever the river starts. So you can like float down. You get like, everybody gets a raft. And it was like us and like a bunch of like, what I think were like college students, you know, like looking to get fucked up. And we were like, we're here to do the same, kind of.
Yeah.
Just a little bit less. But
at a completely different degree.
Right. We're going to be doing some bits the entire time also. And so basically like, I'd say an hour into this like 3-hour river adventure, which was a slow crawl. I somehow like I was like stuck in the lamest way. Like I like was trying to like I was like sitting in the inner tube, like, you know, with my body popping out, like with my feet underneath. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to like pop up and like lounge in it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
For like the minor rapids-y section. Uh-huh. I was like, don't want my feet getting, you know, hit by rocks.
No. Yeah.
But like I got stuck in it. So when I got to that section, my foot hit a rock.
Yeah.
No.
And I was like, God, it really hurt.
Oh, yeah.
Like my ankle. But I was like, whatever.
Yeah.
I'm fine. And then, you know.
Drinking on a river.
Exactly. Yeah. And there's like this one guide with us. But her, I don't know what her credentials were. She was like, she was like a camp counselor for drunk adults.
Great.
And she was nice.
Great.
And she had like a first aid kit, which I later found out didn't have anything in it but Band-Aids.
Literally just the first aid. No second aid, no third aid.
Where's the 15th aid?
She had a box of Band-Aids.
So basically I like kicked my foot up like maybe 10 minutes later and it was like just bleeding. There was like a huge, like, it was like a deep gash in my foot. And it was just like, you know, like the minute it like hit air, it would sting.
Oh,
it was horrible.
Oh,
and
no.
And it would just start to like pour blood.
Oh,
and
my
I was
gosh.
Like, back in the water you go. like, and it really felt much better in the water.
Yeah.
And I like went to this woman and I was like, hey, you got anything in there? Like an ointment? She's like, no, you're going to have to wait till we get back to the bus, which is like 2 hours from then, and then there's like an hour-ish back to Austin.
Oh, no.
So, like, I was just like I just kept my foot in the water, and I was like, it really hurts. And by the, you know, got out, and I was just like in horrible pain. And I feel like I was like, man, like, I don't want to be a bummer. Like, this is a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah. That's the worst when you like get hurt in a group of people having a good time. Because you feel like you have to keep it a secret.
Yes.
Yes.
And I went to Marissa and my girlfriend. I was like, hey, you know, like my foot really hurts. Uh-huh. And she was like, oh, okay, we can do something about it when we get back. But everybody else was like, yeah, this is fun, right? Oh, we're having a time. Yeah.
It's like an animal instinct how like animals are, you know, how like a cat won't, like will try to hide it if they're hurt.
Yeah.
Like it's like the same thing, because it's like they're trained to like not not see that they're hurt, because then they're like, you know,
vulnerable.
Something will eat them, or like their pack will like leave them behind.
Yeah, you have to be really on top of your cat.
Yeah.
You're like, are you hurt or are you being a wiener?
Yeah, yeah.
And you're hurt.
And in this situation, as we all know, Big Grande is the predators of the improv community.
Truly, Dan is a predator.
Yeah,
yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, he'll eat you right up.
In every
Dan
sense
right
of the
up.
Word, Dan Lippert is a predator.
We got out. Eventually, foot really hurt. My eyes were stinging. I think I got sunscreen in my eyes. I was a George Costanza mess.
Yeah.
And so we got back and I was like just like limping. It like hurt to like step on it.
Oh,
I remember
terrible.
Dan did say like, you're fine. Something like, yeah, you don't need to go to the hospital.
He's probably so tall he just couldn't see your foot.
That's
your foot.
It. His eyesight is really bad up in the clouds.
Dan Lippert is a tall predator.
He had truly like, I think I was also like playing it off. It's like, yeah, this will be great.
Yeah,
I didn't, you know, didn't want to be a bummer, but I was like, should have gone to the hospital. And so it really was like worse and worse. And so I was supposed to take a trip to Europe. Like we planned it. So it was like, cool. Like we have a day in between. We get back to LA.
Yeah.
The next day we're flying to Europe for like 2 weeks.
Oh, amazing.
So we went, which was like, what a cool, privileged life. So got back, though, and I, like, went to the hospital. I was like, should probably check this out. This really hurts. And, like, my foot had started to swell.
Oh, my gosh.
And, like, it was, like, painful and, like, it was, like, had pus. It was the grossest. And then the doctor was, like, you know, like, pulling it and, like, poking in there. And, like, that, I think I'm, like, a pain baby. Like, I don't, like, I feel like I'm, like, oh, I'm, this hurts a lot. And everybody else is, like, yeah, that's what happens when you get a shot or something.
Yeah, I am, too. I feel like. What, like, not to get too sidetracked, but like, I fractured my elbow one time and it was such a tiny fracture that they almost couldn't even tell it was fractured in the x-ray. And I thought 1,000% it was like shattered because a little bit of pain made me lose my mind.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's, and I can't, I'm like, well, I guess I'm susceptible to that.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I, you know, it was horrible to have somebody sticking a medical tweezer in a wound.
In a hole in your foot. Oh.
Yeah. In a hole in your foot that like went pretty deep. And she was like, she was like, well, the thing is, this is definitely a bacterial infection. I think you probably have cellulitis, which is like an inflammation and infection that can happen to, I guess, any skin, internal or external.
Yeah.
And she was like, yeah, well, I mean, a river in Texas is probably the worst place you could have left it. I was like, in Texas? She's like, yeah. Well, there's like, especially like if it was in a certain part of that area, like there's just probably a lot of birds pooping in there. And it's like, oh, so like I have like duck shit infected foot. Like that's what I was like, just putting it in like, you know, fish pooping. Like
you cut open your foot and ran it through a river.
And I was like, let me leave it in there
for 2 hours.
Put it in the river of poo.
Yeah.
I believe that's the definition of foie gras. Am I right? I believe I'm right about that.
And my foot was eaten. So basically, she's like, take this antibiotic. And I was like, I'm going out of town. She was like, well, you know, if check in on it. Like, if it should, the swelling should go down in 2 to 3 days.
Okay.
If it doesn't, just go to a hospital wherever you are. Because it could require emergency attention. And I was like, what? You know, and it's like, well, we already bought the tickets. We're going on the trip. Yes. And again, it was kind of like I don't want this trip to be a bummer.
Yeah.
And so I think being on an airplane worsened it because of like the pressure. So it just got bit. It was like this horrible. I feel like you never like appreciate what not being in pain is like until you are in pain.
Yes.
Like
even,
or like I feel like the most human version of it is like, you know, when you are like constipated or like you have diarrhea and you're like, this will never end.
Yeah.
Like I'm sitting here perched on a toilet and I can only look at the tile down on the floor. And if I focus, maybe I can distract myself from it. But it's like this horrible thing that you're like, I know this will pass.
But
every time you just have a normal poop, you're like not thinking about it. You're not like just going like, isn't it wonderful? This isn't diarrhea.
Right, my body works like it should. Yeah. It's a good machine.
Yeah.
So, you know, it was just horrible. The flight there was horrible. I was like limping everywhere and like everything hurt. And eventually.
Were you trying to be brave at this point too? Were you like telling Marissa that this was happening, or were you like, yay, we're in Europe?
Great. She was hearing about all the pains.
Right, yeah.
She was being very cool about it. Like she went into a mode of like, being like the rock of the situation, like, well, okay, this will be good and we'll take care. And then afterwards, once my foot did, you know, not have to get cut off or whatever, she was like, oh God, I was so afraid. She was like, I was worried that like we'd have to go to some like weird, dirty old hospital.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And like, I don't know what was going to happen. But so I was like, honestly, I have like a love-hate relationship. I'm like part of Kaiser. And like sometimes, man, like they just don't give a shit. Like you're just like getting in there and they're like, okay, cool. Yeah, you're fine. It's a chest cold. And I'm like, but I don't know. Which happened recently. It felt like I was being rushed so the doctor could get to lunch.
Oh, no.
But this person was really cool. And they had an app that I had never used. And so I could use the app when I had Wi-Fi and send pictures of my gross foot.
Can you send it to us?
Actually, yeah.
Please do. Please do.
Lots
can
of pictures
we
of
post
it.
Them?
Yeah, if you want.
Absolutely.
Me and like 2008 era Danny DeVito's Twitter. I don't know if you've seen his gross toe, but that's a classic DeVito on Twitter.
Hardly know how to use the internet.
Okay, cool. I could send her pictures and she would be like, oh, you know, looks like it's going down, or like, you know, so I could at least check in, because all I wanted was like somebody to look at it and be like, things are tracking along nicely.
Yeah.
But I had to have like, you know, hot like packs that you could bring on an airline, like, you know, that could get through security, that like were made of weird chemicals, to be like, hey, I'm not a terrorist, but I need all this for my gross foot. Want me to prove it? So it was a lot of like weird taking care of a foot for the first few days. We were in Milan. And I
nothing
just,
says Milan more than putting
fashion
a hot pack
of a gross
on
foot.
Your disgusting foot. Yeah.
So I stayed in, and I remember one night Marissa, she was there for work at first. That's why we went on the trip. So I was like, I'll join you. And then we were going to take a trip afterwards. But she went out with like work buddies, got, you know, like fun drunk, and came back. And I was like, just get me some food out there. I was like lying on like a bed. And I remember her coming back, and like she was at a bar and she like bought a weird like sandwich and she just sat on it all night. And I was so hungry. I was like, yes, I will eat this butt sandwich. It was very sweet, but also the grossest place to put it.
Oh, yeah.
But she had nowhere else to put it.
Yeah, what are you going
to
do?
But my foot turned out okay. The antibiotics worked, and then the rest of the trip was really, really great. But I have like a little scar on my foot.
Oh, whoa.
Yeah.
I always like it better when there's a little scar. It proves something real happened.
Yeah.
Got a weird one on my finger.
Me too. Ooh, I got one too.
What is it?
It's from a UCB person's dog who bit me.
Oh. Well,
can
name
you say
that?
Whose dog?
I don't want to say whose dog it was,
nice,
but it was at like a picnic where like nice
dog, but like,
I'm sure it was like
a George Costanza wiener. Like, I'm holding a hot dog, and then this dog just jumps up and, like, bites it and bites my finger. And I was like, fuck! And then I was like, oh, it's all cool. It's cool. But then, like, it just has this, like, permanent, like, red dot on my finger where a dog tooth punctured my finger.
Yeah. Oh, no.
I got war wounds.
One of my biggest scars is from where I accidentally burned my leg because I was ironing some clothes on the futon mattress that I was sleeping on at the time instead of a bed. And I was just like, I like ironed into my leg because I was on the same plane as my leg as I ironed.
Yeah, yeah.
And I have, I might be gone. It's like on, it's like somewhere on my leg. And it used to be like very pronounced and people would always be like, what is that?
Yeah.
And I was like, an iron burned me.
But was somebody holding it? Was it somebody else?
I was, but I was simply trying to iron clothes that, in retrospect, I'm sure never needed to be ironed because it was in college, and I certainly never wore a garment that needed to be ironed.
Never ironed a damn thing in college.
Yeah. I mean, I still
ever.
Don't.
No, yeah, I barely do.
No.
It's terrible.
Crinkles forever.
Yeah.
You said you had a colonoscopy. We've had colonoscopy stories in here, but you're the only person who said you'd had a colonoscopy as young as high school.
Yeah, I think I was 16 or 17. And I think truly it was like, you know, it was like an anxious time in my life. Like, family stuff was tumultuous. Mm-hmm. And so I think that was just physically manifesting in, like, you know, stomach in some way that I could like rationalize probably. Mm-hmm. But, you know, my mom being the Jewish mom that she is was like, all right, we're going to figure this out. Like, we're going to take you in. And so they were like, well, the endoscopy person was like, we really think you should have a colonoscopy. Oh.
What's the difference between an endoscopy and a colonoscopy?
The throat. And I was like, honestly, but felt so much more comfortable. Like, putting something down your mouth, that feels scarier.
Yeah.
Even though both are probably fine because you're under for it. So, didn't feel a thing. Mm-hmm. But I guess I, like, vaguely remember as I was going under, apologizing to the doctor. I was like, sorry, doctor. Sorry you have to put a camera in my butt. Like, I was apologizing that they had to do that. That's all I remember. It was not painful afterwards. So I guess it's a good thing to get checked later in life. And I feel like endoscopy, like you telling us what happens, it's very scary to me to like think about doing that. But it usually is less bad once you've gone through it.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Knowing. Surviving and just knowing, you know, I mean, most things that you know the answer to. You can kind of live with the results. I mean, there are very few things that once you find out, because once you find out something like that, then it begins the process of healing it or curing it or whatever. Mm-hmm. But until then, you're just in the dark. You're just going from doctor to doctor, hoping that someone will give you some clue as to why you're suffering. Then once they find out why you're suffering, they can start making you better.
Yeah. So in that situation, so you got the colonoscopy, everything was fine, and at that point, were they like, it's just anxiety?
This guy's probably just anxious. Yeah.
Was that news to you, or did you already like self-identify as an anxious person?
I don't know if I self-identified as an anxious person. Yeah. I was just like, man, stuff is rough sometimes.
Yeah.
But yeah, I definitely am an anxious person. But I think the anxiety is less of like a fear of death sort of anxiety and more of just a like, gotta keep like working on stuff in a... Yeah. I feel like it comes from like a more like familial place, but I don't know.
Elaborate on that.
Oh, just like coming from like a hectic or crazy family life.
Yeah.
So it's like being a person who like kind of navigated a lot of stuff. It's like great, kind of create control versus like more of like a therapy based. I don't know. Maybe that also has to do with the fear of death.
Yeah. But. Yeah. So, but you're saying your anxiety is more emotionally driven than like you're not. Well, you don't have a fear of
attacks
death,
or...
but what is the biggest anxiety that you have? Can you verbalize it?
Man, I mean, probably, it's more of like the fear of failure kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Like more of a,
less of a like physical ailment sort of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Unless I'm physically like something's right. going on, then I'm like, oh God, don't cut me open.
Sure, sure.
Anything to do to not cut me open. Like what? Twice I've been in the hospital for the same thing, which was basically severe food poisoning.
Oh.
But it was like one of those times where they were like, well, you might have appendicitis. It's always a possibility. And so the first time was when I started dating my current girlfriend, and it was like a very weird situation where we were just in the beginning of, you know, figuring mm-hmm. it out. So like my sister came with me to the hospital. I was like, I don't want to put this is weird to put this on somebody you just start to know.
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
Like it's a lot. That's a kind of a heavy burden. Mm-hmm. So she was the, like my sister was with me all night. I remember the doctor was one of the doctors was very attractive and mm-hmm. she was like, that doctor was pretty hot. I was like, yeah, you're right. but basically like they made me drink like the, I don't know if it's, there's some sort of chemical that they can track through, I don't want to say like x-ray or I went in a, you know, is it a CAT scan or were they?
Oh, were they like look at your digestive?
She was looking at digestive like, stuff, but I definitely like was like being scanned by a machine at one point.
Wow.
But I did it twice. And basically one time it was just, it was a peanut butter and Oreo milkshake at Fred's 62.
You are not the first person I know who's gotten food poisoned at Fred's 62's.
Yeah. Mm.
I don't go there anymore.
No, I haven't.
I kind of don't go there because I don't think the food's very good. But then a lot of people have gotten food poisoned.
That was like the only thing it could have been, which sucked because I like milkshakes.
Yeah. Yeah, they're good. So it was a bad dairy, you think?
Bad dairy. It was a bad dairy.
could you tell when you were drinking the milkshake?
Did it no, it was great. I loved it. I loved every sip of it.
And what was the second?
I don't remember what. So that was the most recent one. The one before that, I don't remember what the food was. I don't know if it was like pinpointed to something, but it was just basically the same thing. And I like couldn't go to the bathroom. I was like constipated, but like it was all horrible. So I was like there overnight, like just moaning in agony.
You were in the hospital. That's how your food
like
poisoning
emergency
was so
room.
Bad. You were in the hospital overnight.
And they were like, yeah, it can like, because they were like, your body is shutting down because it thinks that, you know, it is obstructed in a way that is more severe than it is. And like, this can happen.
Yeah, yeah.
If you like, hadn't gone, would something really bad have happened?
Well, they gave me an IV both times, which was very helpful to like force fluids in your body because I was throwing stuff up anytime I drank water.
Oh my God.
So it was just like basically flushing things out. And they couldn't figure it out last time. They were like, and I was like, I know this has happened before. It's probably food poisoning. Please don't cut me open to figure it out. They're like, yeah, but just to be safe, we're going to have to like really, you know, we might have to go in, figure out, do an endoscopy first. And I didn't want that to happen either.
Yeah.
And then the doctor was like about to clear me. Like he was like, well, we're going to like, I guess they were tricking me into thinking I was done, but then they were going to take me to some sort of surgery prep, which was weird in hindsight, because he told me that afterwards. Also,
what?
Like, they always ask you, like, they're like, what do you do? And, like, if you say you're, like, in comedy, it's the worst.
Oh, yeah.
Because
then they just want to talk about bits. Tell me a joke.
And you're like, I may have appendicitis.
I'm literally
I'm
miserable.
I don't want to tell you a joke.
But he was like, okay, just sign this paper. And as I was about to sign, I was like, oh, God. I got to throw up. And I was like so happy that I had to like throw most of it. And
yeah,
I
yeah.
threw up a bunch and then it was fine.
Nice.
And I felt better. And then they just kind of like gave me another IV. And
oh, wow.
And then he was like, man, we were going to probably bring you to surgery even though we were telling you we weren't. And I was like,
surgery?
When was that going to happen? What was, what were you going to, how was that going to happen? I have to do something.
Just to, surgery just to check it out?
Basically, they were like, we need to check if something is blocked in your intestines.
And the only way they could do that was by cutting you open?
They said we couldn't find anything in the scan. I like waited hours, and they were like, but you're in severe pain, and we shouldn't ignore this. So they were like, the last resort is to basically look inside.
Oh, that's crazy.
Which is, and I have a fear of that. I've never had like any sort of invasive surgery, or I don't know.
Yeah. How much do you go to the hospital? It sounds like often.
Not that often. I'd say maybe once or twice a year. Mm-hmm. Is that often?
It's more.
Yeah.
I guess often.
That's often.
It's more than I've been to the hospital twice in my life.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay. I guess I do. It's like the Jewish mom thing. Like, check it out just in case.
Right.
Yeah.
I had a friend in college who found out he had cancer. Because so he got in a horrible car accident
Yeah. I've heard these stories.
And he his neck, he had like whiplash, and he was okay.
Yeah.
But he had really bad whiplash, and his mom was really, really, you know, like Armenian mommy about it. Like, you know, like very whatever. Every culture has it. But she was like, we got to take you in. And they were like, yeah, he's just got whiplash. She's like, we're getting a second opinion. And he was like, okay, fine.
Yeah.
Took him to another doctor, and they were like, I think we might need to do a biopsy. And they found out that he was in the early stages of cancer. And that was, he was like 20.
Oh, my gosh.
Or maybe 21. Like my one of my best friends. And then he, you know, went through chemo the year after college.
Oh, wow.
And they got it, right? But he had like an Iron Man kind of like heart type thing. Like they had like something like, I don't know what it was actually for, but it looked like he had to like, he had a port in his chest. And so he couldn't sleep on his front. He always
on
his back.
Yeah.
And man, he dealt with it like a champ. I've never, like, he didn't really open up a ton about it, but he is fine now. He is great.
Oh, wow.
But they caught it incredibly early, so it actually worked.
Was it like pre-cancer? Or was it actual cancer?
It was actual cancer.
Okay.
But I think. Yeah. I mean, he had cancer. Yeah. So they, so that kind of was like a, okay, well, it's worth it to check shit out.
Yeah.
Yeah, for
you know,
sure.
And kind of bully your way around a little bit to be like, this is my body.
Yeah.
I always want to go to the hospital and then like I've taken like Ben, not this Ben, my husband Ben, to the like I've like made him go to the ER a lot, like especially like in like I feel like in college I made him go like twice just for a migraine. And then
migraines are crazy.
They're crazy.
Only had one once.
So I have that impulse, but I think I have maybe less follow through than you because I'll always be like, if this doesn't get better, I'll go to the hospital. And then it always gets better because most of the time, nothing's actually ever wrong.
Right.
With me.
Sleep, drink fluids, yeah. You're fine.
Yeah.
Ultimately.
But
for
I
the
would
most
say
part.
One, going to the hospital as much as twice a year is often.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, good to know.
Yeah. Well, but your philosophy behind it feels very legitimate to me because it's like taking control of your body and your wellness. Like, why not check it out?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like I never trust the doctors very much, though. Yeah. Like, I go in like, oh, they're just going to tell me it's, you know, something dumb.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which I want it to be that, but I also, then I'm
you
like,
don't.
Why am
yeah,
I even
do,
here? Why am I paying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no one, I mean, we all want to be validated, but we don't want to die.
Pro buddy.
Well, speaking of hospitals, should we play a game?
Yeah, sure.
Ooh.
So now we're going to play one of our least popular games.
Yeah.
Oh, great.
Yeah, this is a thing. We played this on our first ever recording of this podcast and made Will Hines angrier than I've ever seen him in my life.
Yep.
Oh, a sadly defeated man.
Sadly defeated man. Call him a angrily defeated man because he lost and he was mad.
Hey-o.
I'm very good.
You always scream that at the end of any comedy set you do.
So this one's called Hospital or Notspital.
I'm already 100% on board.
Yes, but I was very, very excited for you to play this game because Justin is a lover of puns.
Oh, yes.
And Notspital is a perfect pun.
That's about as punny as it can get for me. I mean, like, they don't have to be good.
No, but this one is.
This
100%.
Is very good.
No, it's a game that tests your patience. But also I think is appropriate because you are a frequenter of hospitals.
Yeah,
so.
I can't believe I am.
Yeah, you are. 100%.
You're
you are.
A hospital lover.
Yeah. So I'm going to read a symptom, and then you guys will tell me based on the symptom whether or not you're going to the hospital or. Notspital. You're going to the Notspital.
Great.
The place where you go to tell non-doctors that you're healthy.
But you have to fill out all the paperwork sit there in a waiting room.
Yeah, you need non-medical insurance. And
have Red Book magazines from 2007 just sitting around. Somebody already did the crossword.
Yes. So let's kick this off. Our first symptom is frequent urination. Are you guys going to the hospital? You'll answer each.
How frequent?
You're going once every half hour all day long.
What color?
Just regular pea color.
Red as fuck.
So not totally clear.
You're just peeing every half hour.
That sounds like my life.
Yeah, I have a weak bladder. I'm going to say not spittle.
I'm going to say not spittle.
But after 24, maybe after a day and a half, maybe 48 hours, yeah. I'd be like, oh, maybe hospital.
Yeah. Yeah. But not spittle right away.
The correct answer is not spittle.
Yes.
You've been drinking Diet Coke incessantly.
Yes.
And that's why you're peeing so much. Good work. Now wasting a doctor's time. You freaks. All right.
You're right.
Nice. Good work. Good work. Question number two. Brittle hair.
Suddenly all my hair is brittle.
Brittle. Your hair be brittle.
How like your hair feels like a broom?
Sure.
Is it cracking off?
Yeah, it's cracking off.
Yeah, I'm going to the hospital.
I'm not spittle because my hair is pretty brittle, and I think it's just due to heat styling.
Oh, well, I guess if I'm out in the sun, it depends on where I'm coming from.
Well,
that's not an eligible question. Who's going to the hospital?
I'm not spittle.
I mean, my hair's brittle and falling off. I'm going to the hospital. Okay.
That is correct. You go to the hospital. Madeline, you had alopecia, and your immune system is waging war on your hair follicles.
No!
Oh, you should have gone to the hospital.
Oh, no.
You're bald now.
No! I've been very worried I was going bald several times in my life.
You're the least bald person I know.
One time someone asked if I got a haircut, and I didn't, and I was like, I guess I'm losing my hair. That's the only explanation.
It's alopecia. That was the explanation. You got that brittle hair caused only by alopecia. If you go, ladies and gentlemen, if you go to WebMD, you type in brittle hair, you're going to find alopecia is the only option. Otherwise, your hair would be lush and full.
Herbal Essences commercial.
Yes, exactly.
Yes.
Herbal Essences. You're doing nothing about alopecia. All right, number three. Severe bloating.
So how?
This is the same universe in which you drank all of those Diet Cokes. But is that the cause?
More like my face is puffy.
Sure.
More severe than like eating like half a loaf of bread.
You did eat half a loaf of bread, but is that the cause of this bloating?
I'm gonna say not spittle. I think bloating can happen from very normal things.
Yeah, I'm often bloated. So I'm going to say not spittle.
Oh, it's tragic. You guys should have gone to the hospital to deal with your Helicobacter pylori infection.
Oh, no.
Tell us how to really pronounce that, Dr. Laura, because
yeah,
I did not get it right.
Shout out to Dr. Laura, but we'll need a correction.
Dr. Laura Suhu. Yeah.
So the H. pylori infection, the Helicobacter pylori.
Yeah, I heard of H. pylori.
Yeah, it's a type of bacteria that the germs enter your body and live in your digestive tract. So you currently have bacteria that's just living inside your digestive tract.
Right?
Yes, exactly.
That's what causes an ulcer?
That's one of the things that causes an ulcer, yeah.
That's too bad.
Yes.
I thought all I did was eat half a loaf of bread.
Dang, you drank
a lot of Diet Cokes. You ate a lot of bread. And if you would have used your sixth sense, you would have gone to the doctor and found out that was not why you were so bloated. It was because you're on the verge of an ulcer.
What you should know is sixth sense means it's spelled S-I-C-K-T-H sense, and it's the sense that you have that little something that tells you that, yes, you are.
That's
sick.
Right. Also known as Judaism.
Hey-o. He'll be here at the Catskills all night.
Oh, my God. I've got to get to the Catskills. Guys.
Catskills? What about the dog skills?
I'm very good.
The
only dog skill is eating you after you've died in your apartment.
That's right, you dog-loving motherfuckers.
Cats, 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 cats. All right.
Coming back to the Winter Garden Theater.
Welcome.
Yeah, I know.
Number four, discolored genitalia.
Hospital.
Hospital?
What kind of discolored are we talking?
What color?
I don't know. What color are you currently working with?
Blue. I'm working with a blue right now. Yeah, well, blue seems like something's being cut off.
You could be.
Man, discolored? Yeah, I guess I would go to the hospital.
Yeah.
Well, after 24 hours.
I let you're pretending you don't love to go to the hospital every second of
you
your
know,
life.
Well, I want to go to the Knotspital, but I think I would go to the hospital.
Yeah, I would go to the hospital, I think.
Common blue balls. What are you guys doing? Just blow your wad. Okay. Including in Madeline. Madeline has blue balls.
Pardon me?
Madeline's got a common case of blue balls.
Madeline, this always. Seems like we're being very gender normative here, and I don't appreciate it.
Thank you.
Blue balls for both of you.
That's what that was?
Yeah, that's the only thing that's going on there.
Oh, my God. Go right back to the Catskills,
yeah,
Ben.
Come on, buddy.
Go right back to a late-night show in the Catskills. No kids allowed. Yeah. Where you can make all the blue balls jokes you want.
Oh, yeah. I left my wife and family at home to check out this show where they only do blue balls jokes.
I guess I could go to the Catskills, or you two could go to the Knotspital. You have blue balls.
Hi, I'd like to file for not going to the hospital here at the Knotspital.
You've been approved.
Thank you.
I love this game because yes. Ben gets the I've never seen more of a mischievous grin on Ben's face than when he facilitates the hospital or an hospital game.
I knew it was really... an hospital because it felt too negative, but you know, I got to play it like I would do it in real life.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
It's really a psychological game.
Yeah, which we're role playing going to the hospital.
Yeah, this really is.
It's a little bit of psychological warfare. This is the revenge I get.
But Justin and I play Dungeons and Dragons together, and Ben and I play a hospital or an hospital. Yeah. The hospital role playing game.
One day those two universes will merge into a multiverse.
Last one.
Okay. That's a drum roll.
Good for mics. Good for mics. This sound is good for mics.
It's me, Alexis. Stop doing that.
Alexis, cool voice.
Thanks. I'm very good.
Wait a minute. Wow, you sure sound like Madeline after her patented cat ladies set. Nicole and Marcy just thrown aside as you say, I'm very good.
Okay. Obviously, this is Alexis speaking right now.
Yes. Right. Yes, Alexis.
Okay. Ben back. Earache.
Earaches hurt.
That's
the definition of an ache.
Mm-hmm. You are correct.
Correct. Mm-hmm.
Maybe you should be the doctor.
Yeah, you know, call me Dr. Quinn, medicine dude.
It's sort of like the Ghostbusters reboot. Now we're doing medicine, Dr. Quinn, medicine woman with male.
An all-male reboot of Dr. Quinn, medicine woman. I would love it more than anything.
All these feminists getting up in arms about the male reboot of Dr. Quinn, medicine woman.
Yeah, well, we can make a man be in a stupid show.
Why can't a man be a doctor?
That's insane to me. A male doctor? Come on. Yeah. Come on.
Okay, great.
So you guys got an earache. What are you doing?
God.
I'm in Knotspital. Knotspital. Because I've had many
earaches.
Depends
on how long it lasts.
Yeah.
I'd say, you know, if it's more than a day and a half. Mm-hmm. 2 days, probably going to the hospital, but Knotspital immediately.
Knotspital, okay. So Knotspital, and then you're going to the hospital after 2 days.
2 days.
2 days.
2 full days of earache.
1 hour into your second day, Justin. You've been saved from your ruptured eardrum. Madeline, on the other hand, had a common case of swimmer's ear.
Wait, why did she get the swimmer's ear?
Yay!
You choose to ruin things!
A wonderful twist by our hospital master, Ben Exeter.
That's how it works! You come here to play God on this podcast and you don't know what power you're wielding.
God Cloud, take me away!
No, he's flying through the ceiling!
Jewish jokes in the Catskills.
Justin, well, who won? Is there a winner for the whole game?
Or Alexis
is
it just... wins.
Yay!
I'm so happy.
Oh, I'm thrilled.
I did it.
Whoa, Alexis, you finally voice changed.
Will you speak in the microphone to show them how lovely your voice actually is? Hey, it's me.
And they will not know the difference, I guess, whether or not that is the real Alexis. She sounds like a Disney bunny.
Yeah, she's really the best.
Alexis, congrats on winning the game. Justin, thank you so much for being our guest.
Thanks for having
me.
Thank you, Justin.
This was pure joy.
This was great.
For us, too.
This has been Definitely Dying. Thank you guys so much for listening.
You can follow us on Twitter at Definitely Dying. And until next time, stay healthy.
The
This has been a UCB Comedy production. Check out our other shows on the UCB Comedy Podcast Network.